All right, well, this morning we're talking about the melodic line. There's the picture. Every song has a melody, and that melody holds the whole song together. In fact, it's the part of the song that tends to get into your head, right? You hum the melody. Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, you can't see the picture. Great. That's a music note. So if I were to hum sort of, just that note, you guys know what that song is? What is it? No. I'd have to keep on going, but I don't necessarily want to sing in front of you. Just, it's Amazing Grace. Right? You a little bit further. There's probably a teaching point in that. But you recognize the melody. And by recognizing the melody, there's a way in which you could put the whole song together, right? So just a couple little tunes there, a little bit longer than what I did, and you know how the rest of the song is going, right? And you can pick up the different verses in your head right now, depending on how well you know Amazing Grace. Well, here's the principle. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. And every book of the Bible has its own unique, distinctive melodic line. It's a recognizable pattern of notes or tones that the listener notices, or that we as pastors, as we're doing our study, we pick up on them. Now, that book is part of a larger symphony of Scripture that's singing about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation of sinners. And so every book is in some sense in concert with that message. But they're each making their unique and distinctive contribution to the overall message of Scripture. In other words, every book of the Bible, it's its own piece of sheet music with its own melody. Therefore, if we're going to be good preachers, we need to first be good listeners. We're trying to stay on the line. We don't want to go above or below it. We want to pull out the author's main argument, bring that to our people, and therefore we're paying attention to things like structure and its context, because we're also trying to clearly distinguish its unique contribution to the great story of the gospel. So we're asking sort of what notes are being hit. How are those notes being hit? So that we can help our people hear it as well by making them heard through faithful exposition of the Scriptures each week. Determining what those notes are is key for understanding the whole book. It's part of your preparation. So if we're thinking about how to go from the text to us, and you got your first audience. Structure, context. This isn't a number on the worksheet, so I'm just going to do a melodic line, but this is still helping you understand what the text meant to them and their context. And for this particular prep tool, you need to do it way in advance of the Sunday you're going to preach it. This is work that you're not doing on your particular passage, but on the book that you're going to find your passage in. And so what you want to do is, well before you preach that book, is be spending time using this tool. And honestly, it's going to make a lot of your other work each week a lot more easier. So we're talking about how this work goes a little bit faster. The melodic line will really help you determine the main audience or main argument each week. You want to be able to answer the question well before you get to the start of your sermon series: what is the message of the whole book? So that each week you can answer the question, how does my passage fit into the overall message of the book? And that's really the real value add of knowing the melodic line. You'll be a better preacher if you understand how each portion of Scripture that you're preaching on fits within the larger book, and how that book fits within the larger symphony of Scripture. The melodic line helps us better accurately explain and apply a particular passage of our book. If we don't know what the entire book's about, we may miss the main point of a specific text, and we don't just apply a few verses, but those verses under the agenda of the entire book. So knowing the melodic line actually helps us from keeps us from preaching the same sermon every week, because we know how it's fitting into the rest of the book. We understand how it relates to the overall theme. You know, so while our people, and I don't necessarily think our people have to remember every individual sermon we preach. I can't really remember the sermon I preached last week. I have to think about it for a little bit, you know. I trust that the Holy Spirit is doing his work through the Word every week as people sit under it and hearing it, you know. So I'm not really worried about them remembering every individual sermon, but if I'm hitting the melodic line every week, in some sense, I think they should be able to remember what the book's about. Because over the course of weeks preaching through one book of Scripture, if they're hearing those same notes being tapped throughout, well, they may not be able to tell what any of your sermons are, but they know the book. Because that they're hearing again and again and again. And by preaching like this, we implicitly teach our people how to read that book of Scripture that we're going through. So I think that when you're done with the series, a good goal that you might have for your people is for them to be able to tell someone else what that book's all about. Not because you necessarily said, here's what the melodic line is, but, you know, in the same way that a melody gets stuck in your head and you're humming it and you're like, I don't even know, like, what's that song again? But you could kind of hum the melody. Well, they should be able to talk about what that book's about, you know, or maybe a huge, like, phrase would be as you want to see your members counsel one another, and as they're talking to someone, you know, throughout the week or the church or maybe one of their friends or doing evangelism, and somebody says, oh, I just feel like I don't know about this, and they present a problem, and your members kind of hear that melody run. It's like it ticks off. Oh, you know, that you should read this book of the Bible. That it's all about truly believing the gospel and knowing that you have eternal life in Christ. You know, that would be maybe a melodic line for John or something, and they would just kind of know that. And the way that you get them to think that way is by hitting these notes every week. They're hearing the melody as you exposit the themes and the emphasis of the text. Again, not that you're preaching the same message every week, but understanding how it fits within the overall book. Okay, so that's the melodic line. How do we discern it? How do we listen as preachers so that we can discern the melody of the book? Well, it takes time. And there's just some practical tools that will pull it out. So what are some reading strategies that you might use in order to identify the melodic line? And just think about when you sit down and read a book and you're trying to figure out what this is all about. How would you determine that? What are some strategies?
Top and tail.
Top and tail. Do you want to explain that, Mike? Yeah, so just open the book, read the beginning of it, read the end of it, and see if you can sort of put some things together. Are there things that are being repeated that maybe the author is trying to tell you, here's what I'm getting at, you know? Good, top and tail. What's another reading strategy?
Repeated phrases.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, look for repeated, yeah, themes, concepts, phrases, or words, right? So we've probably all picked up on it in Ephesians this week that unity keeps showing up. So maybe Ephesians has something to do with unity. Another strategy. Yeah, so, yeah, the Juan Sanchez golden rule of Simeon Trust Answers, like, just read it, you know, read it, reread it, Yeah, and you said like, take some notes of the structure of the book type.
Yeah, I mean, I'm imagining, like, say you read through the book and kind of reading it out.
Yeah, so that's great. So, all right, the macro structure. Because really what the melodic line is a tool, this is really sort of context for the book, right? And it's structure for the book. These are some other tools on a macro level. That's good. So again, with Ephesians, we've all probably noticed at this point that there's a big therefore in chapter 4, right? That is now like in we notice in chapters 1 through 3, there's only one command. It's a lot of theology. Chapter 4, therefore, and it gets really practical. Okay, well, that's going to tell you something. That's helpful. Okay, any other strategies?
The book
has a purpose statement. Yeah, look for purpose statements. Famous purpose statement. Anybody know it? What's the one we always think of?
The end of John's
yeah. End of John's Gospel. I've written this so that you may believe. Right? Any others that you can think of? Okay, key verse. One particular kind of or key verses to look at is look at how the author, if you're in the New Testament, look at how the author is using the Old Testament. Look for Old Testament quotations and just see if there's a theme there. It can be helpful. Yeah, these are good. If you can sit down with these tools in your hand and go through a book just trying to look for this stuff, doing this stuff, I think you should come out of your study with a good sense of where your book is going. So let's just try that together. Let's take a stab at this. And since we're in epistles, let's turn over to Jude. And just do this with one another. Now, once you get there, just take a second to... what's that doing? Take a second to just scan the whole letter. Just look over it for a second. And now let's start with the top and tail strategy. So with the guys at your table, read verses 1 through 2 and 21 through 25. And as you read this, look for words and phrases that you see at both the beginning and end of the book. So take a few minutes to read with your table and look for repeated phrases at the beginning and end of the book. All right, let's come back together. What are some words or phrases that you see that stuck out to you in both the beginning and the end?
Love.
Okay, great. So love,
mercy.
Keep. Yeah, where do you see keep? Great. So you got keep. In terms of like kept for Jesus, and whoops, she capitalized his name, and then and keep yourselves. Yeah, he's able to keep you. There's quite a bit about that. And just on that real quick, I think, especially in the epistles, the greetings can really tip you off. Like one word can tip you off in the epistles. So if I'm reading through this and doing the melodic line and I see kept for Jesus, and I don't necessarily think I see that in other greetings, well, I'm automatically looking for that in the tail. Because if I see it in the tail also, that's something. You know, so like in Ephesians, if you think about the greeting, we were talking in our small group yesterday, it just sticks out that he says to the faithful saints in Ephesus. You know, and so you think about all the other greetings that Paul said. Well, clearly to the saints. There's lots of greetings that say that, but to the faithful saints. Well, that might be something. And then you come to the macro structure, and you're therefore, and what do you say? Therefore, walk worthy of the calling. Okay, something's happening, you know? So yeah, I think it keeps a big deal. Anything else that you saw? Okay. So how would you summarize that to the thing that you're seeing there? Okay. Yep. So just a fatherly love for the people coming through the letter. All right, well, with all that said, just based on what you see here, don't go further in the book. You may have already seen other things as you scan the book. But just based on this right here, write a provisional melodic line for yourselves. Provisional. Don't go any further than top and tail. Just based on this, talk with people at your table and come up with a provisional melodic line. All right. Anyone want to share their provisional line? And I know some of you, so just FYI, this needs to be able to fit on the screen. All right. I'm talking to you, man. All right. What's anybody want to share what they've got? Yeah, Jamie?
Keep yourselves in the love of God, even as God keeps you.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, even as God keeps you. All right, anybody? This is our working provisional line as a group. You might have your own, but Jamie stepped out, so we're going with this for right now. Anybody got a problem with it? Any kind of nuance modification? Essentially, yeah. Yeah. Argument, main idea. Yeah. Notes.
Just missing the part about serving others, keeping that,
right? Yeah. So do you have a modification? You want to modify it?
Ian?
No, you keeping that to yourself, Ian?
No,
you
want?
Okay. So, like, you just want the others aspect. So, like, keep yourself and others. Okay. Yeah. We'll run out of screen. But yeah, no, it's good, though. You're wrestling. So actually, It's a good example, because what happens is you might, if you're just dealing with the top and tail, you might be like sort of struggling, like, but what is this, that? But there are more strategies. So this is a good start. Let's test this provisional line by going with another strategy, and look for repeated words and phrases throughout the book. If we're on to something, if Jamie's led us in a good direction, then we should see something related to the provisional line throughout the whole book, or strengthening what we already have here. So, yeah, take some time, read the whole book with one another, and just note the repetitions. Let's come back together here. What else did you notice? Any words that you found repeated again, or anything else you saw that was repeated throughout? Judgment? Where did you see judgment? Yep. Yeah. Great judgment. Okay. 3 and 9. So you said fight language. See anything else?
Insults.
Yeah. This is getting pretty cluttered here.
Dangers from within.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so that would go with sort of contend, sort of the dangers that are out there, judgment. Seems like that would have something to do with keeping ourselves right in the faith, something going on there.
Ungodly.
Anybody notice anything else that you want to see up there in that mess of words? Beloved. I should put that in there. Go ahead. Okay. Rejection of authority versus godly authority. Yeah. Okay, so with all that in mind then, Let's take a second just to revise your own melodic line that you've written down a second ago, and then maybe in just a minute from now we'll come back together and do this one we have together. So just take a minute to revise your own, so you can get a practice of how you might do it. Jamie, lead us, brother. Any changes you want to make? Okay. By contending for the faith. Oh, you want to put it first? By contending for the faith, keep yourselves and others in the love of God, even as God keeps you. Anybody want to modify that? Feel good about that? Scott? Ooh.
Keep yourselves in God's
love by contending for faith. All right. Is that right? Is that the way you wanted it?
It's close.
All right. You can see how it can help you, though, right? Already just having that as you go through the book each week, depending on how you divide it up, that's going to be helping you. Now, I think we've already hit on another strategy, but it's good to recognize. What did you guys see, or maybe can you see the purpose statement in Jude? We've mentioned it up here. What is it? Contend for the faith. So you get that fighting language. There's danger. It's judgment or salvation. But there's this like hope that okay, because of the love of God, you're kept by Jesus. I mean, we haven't started preaching it, but just doing the work that we've done right now, I'm starting to feel the book, right? So if you've done all this work in your study and been thinking about it, and you've got that sort of over the head of every week that you're in the text, wanting to stay with this melody, that's going to really help you preach that sermon. So this is good. Is this the right one? Well, you're going to do the work every week to get at the author's main argument. You're going to do structure, context, all that every single week. So you're not actually preaching the melodic line. So somebody said, is this the main argument, right? His main idea? Well, it's helping you get there. But we're not worried about necessarily preaching this as the main argument, unless you're doing an overview sermon of the book, and then you better, you know, get it right. But this is helpful. Just so you can, I want to just kind of by way of testimony, turn to Romans with me, because this was super helpful to me as I'm preaching through Romans. Let's just real quickly together do the top and tail. Someone read for us 1:1-5. Romans. Yeah.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations.
Great. Now flip over to the end of the book. Chapter 16, and someone read for us 25-27.
Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of the faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Do you guys see some repeated themes in the top and tail? Just shout them out real quick if you notice them. Gospel. Obedience of faith. Yep. Nations. One more that I'd point out is the scriptures. But just those words right there. Now think about Romans, if you're familiar with Romans at all. Do you see these words or the theme surrounding these words show up in Romans throughout? Think of any places? All of it. All of it. I mean, faith, faith, faith. That's like all of it, right? Gospel, gospel, all of it. And then he's using the scriptures all throughout 1-11 where he's focusing on the faith, right? Over and over again, it's this is the gospel, this is the faith, this is the, and he's basing it on the scriptures. And then you get to chapter 12, and you get this huge therefore, living in view of the faith. It's the obedience of faith. So it just becomes pretty clear that 1-11 is the faith, 12-15 really, but you can throw 16 in there if you want, is the obedience of faith. And then all of that is working for this goal that he mentions in chapter 1, that he wants to come to them. He's hoping to benefit from them because, as we know with Paul's life, he's on mission, right, to spread the gospel. Ultimately, we know he's trying to get to Spain. So this is like a support-raising letter in some ways. But it's not just a systematic theology on the gospel. It's about missions. It's trying to get the gospel forward. Now, that knowing that, having sort of a melodic line in my head, knowing that this is where the book's going, that sort of thing, when you get to chapter 9, it's really helpful. Suddenly, chapter 9 is not just like sort of an excursion to answer some objections. Those objections that he wants to answer have a purpose. It's not like, oh yeah, you guys had some questions. No, it fits within the song of the book, the melody of the book. He wants to answer those objections because it's going somewhere. And what you find is chapter 9, not just chapter 10, but chapter 9 is a wonderful missions text when you understand how he's using it in light of his goal. And then you get to 10, and that's obvious. And then you get to chapter 11. And if you understand chapter 11 rightly, you can see why he wants to answer the objections there. You understand how that's fitting into the obedience of faith among the nations. And then suddenly, as I was so helped by the melodic line, seeing all this come together, because I was avoiding Romans for years because of chapter 11. And then I got there, and I think I saw it in a whole new light. But part of what helped me get there was this tool. It was this tool. So these tools just are such incredible helps for helping us get in the study early in the week and kind of start going somewhere, because you've already got a head start. And you start sitting down and working on structure, and then everything starts to like kind of sing and come together because you've done this work here. It's really helpful. So I hope that this will serve you. Don't worry about whether or not you're stating it perfectly, and you can always hone it. It might change throughout your entire, study in the book, but it's just good to sit down and do the work. I mean, even with Amazing Grace that I hummed in the beginning, I remember leading music one Sunday and getting up there to do Amazing Grace and going, oh no, how does everybody sing it? Because there's really 1,000 different ways that you could go up on each word, note, letter. I mean, everybody kind of does it differently, and I didn't know which way our church, I couldn't remember how we sang it, but that's okay. It's still the same song. So the melodic line might change a little bit. It might be a little bit different from you to another pastor, but everybody's still able to sing it, It takes a while to sharpen this instrument. It takes a lot of work and practice, but just real quick, you've been able to see in our time together, you can come up with something that will be helpful to you. And it helps you know kind of each week where you're at in the book and which note you might want to press down on this week, maybe hold a little bit longer, and which other things that you see in the text are true, but okay, I can, especially if you're preaching larger chunks, you can kind of move through that because those notes aren't necessarily key to the song. The danger with this, before we wrap up here, is that you don't want to end up preaching the same message every week because you're just preaching the melodic line every single week. Oh, I see where it is here, I see where it is here, I see where it is here, and you just do that every week. You want to actually use it so that it becomes unique, because you can see how this particular passage is emphasizing something that another one's not. It's really helpful. So here we go. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message, and you want to listen for it. That's going to help you be a better preacher because of it.